And because of that, a number of software companies and computer companies have been in favor of it. And Sun, in particular, is opposing the Commerce Department proposal for that very reason. Also, the National Association of Writers is even opposed to it, although I don't know why. I heard at an intellectual property conference last weekend that they were opposed. Beyond that, many law professors are opposed to this proposal because it's contrary to the traditions and the fundamentals of American copyright law. When the Constitution was written, there was a proposal that it should say that authors are entitled to own works that they write, that they're entitled to a monopoly on printing them. And this was rejected. It'll come as a big surprise, probably, to some of the listeners that this was rejected. Instead, a fundamentally different, although in some ways similar, idea was put in the Constitution. And that is that as a means of promoting progress, it is permissible to give authors some kind of exclusive rights to a work. Not because they fundamentally are entitled to it, but with the idea that society in general might benefit through such a system. The idea is, through copyright, it's easier for authors to write more. They do write more, and the readers are pleased with the results. This was the fundamental logic of copyright. It's meant to encourage the availability of works that people can then read. From the public's point of view, every restriction that authors or publishers can impose means the public is paying a higher price. Now, when you pay a higher price, you may or may not get more in exchange. There's such a thing as diminishing returns, a fundamental economic principle, which is as you put more and more inputs into something, eventually the amount of output you get will taper off. It won't be worthwhile to keep paying a higher price. You know, you pay a certain amount for a car. If you paid twice as much, well, maybe the car would be better in some ways, but you might not feel it's worth it to pay twice as much for a slightly better car. You might not feel it's worth it to pay twice as much even for a substantially better car if you're satisfied with the one that you got. Maybe you want that money for something else. And likewise, we might not want to pay twice as many different freedoms to get a few more books written. Maybe it's just not worth the price.
So, as an average American, you would say I should be opposed to this because I'm trading away a freedom to gain something that already is being produced in excess, you would claim.
Yes. More precisely, you'll trade away this freedom and it won't make a big difference in how many books are available for you to read, but not having this freedom will make your reading of them a lot more inconvenient and cumbersome and perhaps more expensive.
Now, a lot of people are politically apathetic these days, and someone who's apathetic would say, gosh, you know, compared to, you know, some other issues, medical care, the Social Security, or even who would be the next president, that, you know, this issue seems fairly minor. It sounds like, the final result will be that I'll just be paying to read a book, which is what I do now anyway, and that, maybe this isn't a big deal. How would you respond to someone who's apathetic and who had that attitude?
Well, that's sort of a devil's advocate question. I don't think those are all that illuminating. Fundamentally, an apathetic person is going to be apathetic. What I have to say is only interesting to people who feel that they want their lives to be better, not worse, and who care enough that they want to do something about it. But these days, a lot of people who do care about political issues want government to be messing with people's lives less. They say, government shouldn't take so much money from us and spend it. Well, if there's anything perhaps worse than government taking too much of our money and spending it, it's government taking too much of our freedom and spending it. So I'd suggest that as we reconsider all the other government programs that give handouts to this particular special interest or that, we shouldn't leave the publishers out of the game. In fact, we certainly shouldn't be giving them additional handouts. What's more, people who are concerned about the growth of new kinds of information industries, people who want to see them developing on the Infobahn, are concerned that these laws, by requiring everything to be done in a way that fits with the printed book, by requiring information online to be so controlled, that it may make it hard for new kinds of industries shaped more so as to go along with the nature of computer networks, it may make it harder for them to develop by locking the dinosaurs, so to speak, of the old wave of publishing into a dominant position from which they can never be displaced.
Okay, now sort of let's address the other class of Americans who would be listening to this and saying, yeah, I agree with you. It does sound like our freedoms are being spent unnecessarily. What can be done? Who can I join to oppose this?
I don't know if there's an organization that an individual can join yet. I hope that one will be founded in the coming month or two. It's still being talked about. For right now, probably the best thing to do is watch for the January issue of Wired magazine, where there will be an article by Professor Pamela Samuelson, a law professor, writing about these proposals and their consequences. We hope it'll be available through Wired's online service fairly soon.
Now, Professor Samuelson has written about this issue in the past, correct?
Yes. In the December issue of the Communications of the Association for Computing Machinery, which is a technical journal of computer science, that was the December 1994 issue. You can find an article about the previous draft of this proposal. But since writing that, by attending publishers' conventions, Professor Samuelson has found out about possible consequences that are even worse than were suspected before.
Such as
the possibility that copyright management information attached to every book or piece of music, every file in your computer, might even include things that would keep track of when you read the book and report on them. That apparently some publishers are thinking about using this provision of the report in that particular way. The Commerce Department report doesn't say anything about this particular possibility. It simply says it will be illegal for people to remove whatever copyright management information is put on. But some publishers apparently plan to use it for that kind. Now, it's all too easy for Americans to be pushed a little bit into giving up their privacy and subjecting themselves to snooping. Just consider, not far from here, I'm told there's a highway where some people, to save time, pay their toll by having a little radio device in their cars so that the toll booths can automatically tell when that particular car is driving by. Well, if this system spreads, it might save you a few minutes waiting for tolls. Sometimes it might even save you a longer time waiting for tolls. But in exchange, what will happen is the government will know exactly where everybody's driving all the time. And especially for people who are a little bit afraid of too much government power, that ought to be very alarming. If it were up to me, I'd get rid of those radio sensing toll systems, because those are the edge of the wedge. We could have the same thing happening with our computer files that we read under this report.
Yeah, and it sounds like, if I end up reading some pornography and then later run for office, you know, someone could dig up that information and then say, hey, you know, you don't want to vote for this guy. You know, just listen to the passage out of this book that this guy read just 3 years ago or something.
Or just 20 years ago when or just 30 years ago at the age of 16.